The reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, and it's being read from the Message version. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth." God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the seas and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Thanks be to God.
When God was creating mothers, he was deep into his sixth day of overtime. An angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." And God answered, "Look at the requirement on this order and you'll understand why. She has to be completely washable, but not plastic, have 180 movable parts, each one replaceable. She runs on black coffee and leftovers. She has a kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair, and has six pairs of hands." The angel shook her head. "Six pairs of hands? That's not possible even for you, God." "It's not the hands that are causing me problems," replied the Lord. "It's the three pairs of eyes mothers are supposed to have." The angel asked, "Are the three pairs of eyes supposed to be on the standard model?" The Lord nodded. "One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are the kids doing in there?' even though she already kind of knows. Another pair in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't but what she has to know. And of course, the ones in the front that can look at a child even when he goofs around and reflect and understand that she loves them, even though she doesn't utter a word." "Lord," said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, "come to bed. Tomorrow you can try again." "I can't," said the Lord. "I'm close to creating something so similar to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family of six on 1 pound of mince, and get a 9-year-old to stay under the shower for an incredible 2 minutes." The angel circled the model of the mother very slowly and sighed. "It's much too soft, dear God." "Soft, yes, but tough too," said the Lord excitedly. "You cannot imagine what the mother has to do or endure." Asked the angel, "Can it think?" "Not only think," said the Creator, "it can also reason and compromise." Finally, the angel bent over and ran her fingers across the mother's cheek. "There's a leak," he said suddenly. "I told you. You were trying to fit too much into the model. You can't ignore the stress factor." The Lord moved in for a closer look and gently lifted the drop of moisture to his finger where it glistened and sparkled in the light. "That's not a leak," God said. "It's a tear." The angel queried, "A tear? What's that for?" "It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, compassion, pain, loneliness, and for pride."
Thank you, Helen. So whether you're a mother, a father, a carer, or a guardian, all of us, I think, can relate to the demands, but also the rewards of loving and nurturing someone who depends on us. But this beautiful story that Helen has just read to us also tells us something about God, his measured and intentional attention to detail, how he deliberated with himself and about the creation of humankind. Of course, the creation of humankind comes at the end of the account about creation. When God created and filled the earth with life, we read how it was good. And then when we created humankind, the pinnacle of creation, he embedded his likeness and image into us, making us a little lower. And as David read in that account of Genesis, God created human beings in our, that's God's, image, making them reflecting our image. But what does that mean, to be made in the image of God, in his likeness and reflecting his image? And what is the motivation behind God's command, depending on which version you read, to exercise dominion and rule, or to reign, to master, to be under your control, or take charge and be responsible for, as David read? What does that mean, and what should it look like? Well, let's consider the idea of humanity being created in the image of God first, because this should then help us to understand how we should care for creation and all God's gifts. Later on in Genesis, we read that Adam fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and that son was Seth. And Seth is described as being in Adam's image. So we might say he's a chip of the old block. So being in God's likeness, in his image, could be seen a bit like this. So what do we know about God? Well, in the first chapters of Genesis, we learn about God's character, don't we? His intelligence in design, his morals and appreciation for what is good, his use of language and the power behind that, and his pattern of work and rest. God, we discover, is relational, for he establishes a connection with Adam and Eve, which is governed by his love and commitment. God is, if you like, a pattern for how humanity should be and behave. He is not only our father or mother. Remember how Jesus cries out for Jerusalem, saying that he has desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But he is also the best and most perfect example of a father, a mother, of how we should care for one another. Therefore, if humanity is in his likeness, reflecting his image, then we should be displaying similar characteristics. This is what distinguishes us from the other creatures that God has created. This is what God intended. However, our image was damaged and parts of it were lost in what we refer to as the fall, when humanity rebelled against God. Consequently, humanity has a tendency to exhibit selfishness and to sin against God and one another. But that process of restoring this image that God has created, which is known as sanctification, is the work of God through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus not only fully expresses the image of God, as it's written in the letter to the Colossians, he is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God. But through Jesus, we are being moulded and restored back into the image of God. Paul writes, those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So through Jesus, we can learn what it means to be made in the image of God and how we should care for creation and those around us. And we don't do it alone, for God is working in and through us by his Holy Spirit, which we receive as we turn our lives to God, as we become Christians. However, it's when we consider that being in the image of God is also linked to the idea of ruling, or as in David's translation, taking charge, being responsible, that we not only see what characteristics we should exhibit, but how we are to represent God here on earth and to share in his rule over the whole of creation. To exercise dominion and rule, as verse 28 appears in many translations, are terms which have sometimes been interpreted as to conquer and dominate. But notice how this command originally comes just after humans have been created and whilst they are in, if you like, their pristine condition. The motivation for humanity to exercise dominion and rule was governed by their ability to be holy and wise, to be as God intended. To rule well should demonstrate a duty of sensitivity and care. However, the problem comes, as I've said, in the nature of the one who rules, so that when humanity rebelled against God, our understanding of how to rule became both frustrated and distorted. As one theologian described it, responsible stewardship has been replaced by senseless exploitation and a toxic mixture of tyranny, abdication, and loss of control. That is the ultimate fact behind every man-made environmental disaster. And we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen that over the most recent years with the effects of climate change on our environment. And that has been very much brought sharply into focus during our first lockdown, when swans were found in canals in Venice, where dolphins were found in the empty cruise ports, wild goats on the streets of Cagliari, as nature reclaimed our world. The Daily Telegraph reported on the 9th of April last year that the Himalayas were now visible from India for the first time in 30 years, thanks to a drop in air pollution. And of course, the video that we watched earlier conveyed the same sort of message, didn't it? We need to be so careful that when we read God's command to exercise dominion and rule, or to take charge, that we do not read it from the Genesis 3 perspective, where humanity has rebelled and selfishness has entered, but from what God intended when God replicated himself in creation in Genesis 1. The Message translation has tried to capture that, I think, by saying we are to be responsible. You see, God wants us to share in his creation, to be co-workers, co-regents with him. We're not just puppets for God to operate, but human beings that contribute to the good of the world so that it may flourish and reflect God's glory. Like the gardener who works tirelessly with the ground to produce the most beautiful flowers, or like the farmer who sows and feeds and cultivates his crops or cares for his livestock, like the mothers, fathers, carers who nurture the children in their care so that they may flourish. We have been entrusted and given responsibility for creation by and with God. I think that when we consider God's measured and intentional creation to make humanity in the image of God and connect it with that command to exercise dominion and rule, then we can see how we should care for creation and all God's gifts. I think then we also begin to see and acknowledge the immense privilege to be co-rulers with God, assisting in helping the natural world flourish fully. And what we learn about how Jesus thought and behaved will hopefully inspire us to replicate those same values in our own lives, so that we can rule as God intended, being governed by love and commitment, and in doing so, witness to the glory of God. Not only that, but like the story Helen read to us at the beginning, I hope and pray that you will recognise the personal value of your own life as you come to know what it means to be made in his image, in his likeness. God's measured and intentional detail that has wonderfully and marvellously created you illustrates how precious you are to God, our Father, our Mother, our Creator. So precious that, as you'll see as we come to Holy Week, you are worth dying for. So let us pray. We thank you, God, that you have commanded us to be co-rulers in your world. Help us to be wise and responsible and worthy of that role. And in doing so, that we show your love and commitment to all that you have created. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.